Walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus is all that we need to do. Walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus is all that we need to do. His love will guide us and He will show us. His love will see us through. Walking and talking. Walking and talking with Him. Oh, we're walking and talking. Walking and talking with Him. Walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus is all that we need to do. Walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus is all that we need to do. His love will guide us and He will show us. His love will see us through. Walking and talking. Walking and talking with Him. Oh, we're walking and talking, walking and talking with Him. Oh, we're walking and talking, walking and talking with Him. Oh, and some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away when the shadows of this life have gone. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. Whoa, I'll fly away, oh glory. Fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. You know, it doesn't say if I die, it's when I die. And in the morning, right? God is so good. I have heard the sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, healing brokenness. I feel a generation breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare, and our song it will be. Out of the darkness, we will rise and sing. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus. All my hope is in Him. He is
freedom, and he is healing right now. He is hope and joy. Break of dawn, giving blind men sight and letting lame men walk. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song it will be. Out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him. He is freedom, and he is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. Proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. Proclaim our love for him, and proclaim our love for him. He is faithful, he is glorious, and he is Jesus. All my hope is in him, and he is freedom, and he is healing right now. He is hope and joy and love and peace and life. Yeah, yeah. Ooh.
He has paid the highest price, and he has proven his great love for us. We'll praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him.
He has paid the highest price,
and he has proven his great love for us.
Proclaim our love for him, and proclaim our love for him, and proclaim our love for him. We serve a faithful God, a glorious and mighty Savior. Really?
Thank the Lord for being faithful in your life.
We thank you, Lord. You are so good, good, faithful.
There's no situation that the Lord won't see you out of. Always provide an out for you. Just look to Him because He is our source.
You're the source of my strength, the source of my being, and I will put my trust in you. You're the source of my strength, the source of
Lord, I pray that you would help us to do just that. So many times when the cares of this life overwhelm us, Lord, what we do is run. We move away instead of crawling in your lap, instead of allowing you to comfort us, instead of putting everything in you. Lord, we try to figure it out on our own. Lord, would you help us to get past that? Would you help us to know and believe and trust in you? Lord, I pray that our faith and hope in you would be strengthened every moment of every day. Lord, that we would see the truth in your word, that we would experience the truth of the relationship we have with you. God, I pray that you would just continue to build us and teach us and encourage us. Help us to be who you've called us to be. Lord, I know there are several today dealing with colds and flu and sniffles, and Lord, I just pray that you would touch them. Pray that you would bring healing and wholeness to them. Lord, I pray that you would restore them. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to each and every one of us today. Lord, we're all in need of guidance and direction from you. Different areas, different types of needs, but we're all in need. Lord, I just pray that you would speak and encourage and move as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we started talking about and working our way through Psalm 23. We talked about the fact that there are several references within Scripture to sheep and shepherd and what they mean, especially as they apply to us as the sheep and Jesus as our shepherd. We're going to continue to make that comparison and look at that and talk about that. And I encourage you, as much as we talk about the sheep and the shepherd, try to think about it personally, with you representing the sheep and Jesus representing the shepherd. What does it mean? How does it connect? What can we learn from it? There is so much to gain from Scripture in regards to that. And so much we miss out on because we simply don't understand this whole relationship or this whole idea of sheep and shepherds. Think about it as we talk through this a little more this morning. If you're ready, hopefully you've turned there. We're going to read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last week, we started at the beginning, and we started looking at the first few statements that King David made, who was the author of this particular psalm. So today we're going to pick it up with the next little stanza or little verse, part of a verse, which says, he leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep, like people, like you and I, need water to survive. The average adult human body is made up of like 50 to 60% water. Isn't that crazy? You think we would just like melt or float away if we're made up of that much? That much water makes us up, makes up our being. A sheep is not much different. About 70% of a sheep is made up of water. So you can immediately see the need for good, clean, pure water. It's important not only to sheep, but to us as well. One thing we know about sheep, and it'll be interesting as we walk through this morning to think about this, sheep will drink whatever is in front of them. They will drink whatever is in front of them. I read this from one of the blog posts that I was going through. I read this. Sheep are content with whatever satisfies. When the sheep are thirsty, they will stop at a puddle, even if clean, still water is nearby. Sheep are content with filth so long as it satisfies. Remember a few minutes ago when I said you're a sheep and I'm a sheep? I want you to think about that last statement for a minute. Sheep are content with filth as long as it satisfies. Oof. Oof. That's a pretty enlightening statement, I would say. Because you and I, as humans, are naturally satisfied with filth. Even when pure, clean water is close by. Sheep recognize their need for water, but they struggle with discerning the good from the bad. They see the water and think it's acceptable. They don't seem to process the hazards or the good part. They simply go after whatever is easiest, whatever is most convenient, whatever happens to be right there in front of them. They go after that. So the shepherd has to work hard to lead his sheep to the good, clean, pure water, to steer them away from the filth or the puddle or the mud that might be right in front of them. Because they will go to that filthy mud puddle first. They will drink that dirty water even though the clean water is nearby. Now think about that. Think about that sheep drinking that dirty, nasty mud puddle water. What's going to happen? They're going to get sick, exactly. All the dirt, all the filth, all the parasites, all the bacteria, all the garbage from that filthy water, they're going to drink and it's going to get into their system. Now put on your sheep suit for a minute. What happens with all the filth and the garbage and the nastiness that's in front of us that we indulge in? It's going to get in to our system and we're going to get sick. And we're going to deal with those parasites. And we're going to deal with all of that garbage that we have allowed into our system. That dirty, filthy junk has its effect on sheep as well as us. For sheep, one of the best, one of the cleanest, one of the easiest waters that they can possibly get on a daily basis comes in the form of the morning dew. There's good, fresh, green grass right out in front of them, and that water, that clean water, is just hanging off that grass, waiting for them to take in and absorb. It's one of the reasons you will see so many sheep grazing early morning, if you see sheep around you at all. They will be out early in the morning drinking in that nourishment as well as getting fed. They can take both in those refreshing morning hours. Now, this isn't a secret. I have shared this many a times with many people. I personally am a lover of morning devotion time. There's no right and wrong time to have your devotions. Don't misunderstand me. But I am a lover of devotions first thing in the morning for very similar reasons. It is a fresh, pure, clean day. The hour is new. There are no contaminants or garbage in front of me just yet. I have started with this wonderful morning time that's clean and fresh. And I can get that nourishment, that grass, that dew, that water, that scripture into my system before the rest of the garbage of the day tries to infiltrate me. So I am a big fan of those morning devotion times, of going out and doing my grazing first thing in the morning. Now, that doesn't mean I don't do it the rest of the day. Again, there's no right and wrong time to have your devotions and read and pray and whatever. But I find such a freshness when I spend that time in the morning and to start my day off that way. Just like those sheep need that water, need that food, that nourishment, we need the same thing, not only for our bodies, but spiritually, for our souls, for our spiritual nourishment. It is a critical part of our lives. Again, I've shared this before. Other than fasting, we don't go days upon days upon days without eating food. We eat most every day of our lives. Why, if we do that physically, why do we not do that spiritually? Why do we not see that same need in our spiritual lives, our spiritual well-beings? If we're not going to feed our spirit, what's going to happen? It's going to wither. It's going to get weak. It's going to fall apart. Just as if you didn't feed your body for an extended period of time. It's going to get weaker and weaker. The muscles are going to begin to break down. The fat is going to begin to break down. And your body is just going to be laying there until eventually you die if you don't eat. Same thing goes for our spiritual well-being, our spiritual body. We need that nourishment as well. I hope we can see this picture of this water that Jesus provides for us. I mean, Scripture is very clear that He is the living water. He is the well of life for us. He provides that nourishment that we need, and we can get that daily in our prayer time, in our reading time, in our time spent with Jesus. And then I want us to think about, if He is the living water, if He is the good, clean, pure water, what do you think is the dirty, muddy water that we tend to stop and drink? It's the rest of the world that's out in front of us. It's the greed, it's the lust, it's all those things that the world tries to get us to stop and feast at. Think about those puddles full of fame, full of money, full of drugs, it's all of those things that the world tries to get us to indulge in. That's the muddy, dirty, nasty water that we need to avoid. And our flesh is usually willing to stop at each and every one of those little dirty puddles to try to find some sort of satisfaction. And we hopefully know that you're never going to find satisfaction in anything the world has to offer you. It may feel good for a time. It may feel good for the moment. But you're just taking filth into your system. And eventually, you're going to have to deal with all of that filth that you've taken into your system. Jesus is our provider of our good, clean water. Praise God, He has provided that for us every day, every moment of every day. He is there bringing to us exactly what we need. He brings us beside the quiet and, if I can say, clean, pure waters constantly. David goes on in the psalm to say that our shepherd restores my soul. Oh, soak that in for a minute, because that is a joy just to hear those couple of words. He restores my soul. Now, I want us to think about this in relationship to the sheep and shepherd. That's what this is all about, right? What does this mean? Have you ever heard about a cast sheep? C-A-S-T, a cast sheep. This simple phrase describes a sheep who is laying on his back and cannot get up. Cannot continue to move or function, or is simply unable to get up on their own. For whatever reason, they have laid down, they have rolled over, they have fallen down. Whatever has taken place, this sheep is cast. He is on his back and cannot get up. If this sheep is left in this condition for any length of time, that sheep will die simply from being cast. Think about that. If they are left there, there's not much they can do. The insects, the pests, the flies, all of those things are going to attack them. All of those things are going to cause them serious problems. They are, of course, going to be greater prey for all of their enemies because they are stuck in that particular position. So this is something the shepherd has to be mindful of and watching out for all the time. Now, from a shepherd's perspective, you might think this is simple, right? Oh, well, you know, he's got 5 or 10 sheep. He's just got to watch them. A typical shepherd doesn't have 5 or 10 sheep. He could have 100 sheep or more. And their pasture is not just a 10 by 10 area. I mean, it could be acres of land that they're watching at the same time. Put that into perspective when you think about the shepherd having to watch all of his sheep, where they're at, what they're doing, being mindful of them at all times. This is a dangerous situation for the sheep. I mentioned the fact that they are greater prey for their enemy, and that is for one simple reason. When the sheep is on their back, when they are cast, when they are down low like this, they cannot use their one defense mechanism. Do you remember what that one defense mechanism is? Run! How in the world are they going to run when they're laying on their back? They might be able to go through the motions, but they're not going to get anywhere. They cannot use their one defense mechanism. Do you remember I said David wrote this psalm not from a kingly perspective, but from the shepherd perspective? David understood this idea of being cast personally. He understood this idea of being down and out, so to speak, on your back, unable to move forward, or at least it seemed as if that was the case. David wrote this in Psalm 42:11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? When David wrote that, David was guilty of sin. I think we know the whole story of David and Bathsheba. We're not going to go into that this morning, but David was guilty of other sins. He was a human being. He sinned just as you and I did. But this was a doozy. At least that's the way we like to think about it in terms of sin. We like to think about this as being a bad one. In reality, sin is sin. But David was in sin. He knew personally what it meant to be down or unworthy or on his back, so to speak, because of the sin he had committed. He also knew how great his God was. And he knew how incredibly faithful his God was in restoring him, in restoring people, in picking them up and getting them back on their feet when they were cast down. Now, let's be honest. There's been many a times you and I have found ourselves in this same position. We have fallen. We have stumbled. We have somehow rolled over, landed on our back, and we cannot spiritually function the way we are supposed to. We're struggling to get back on our feet. We're struggling to roll over. We need our shepherd to come help us, to come alongside of us, to get us back upright and restore us so that we can begin to move forward once again, so that we can get back in the fold once again, so we can have the shepherd's protection around us once again. So let's talk for a minute about how the shepherd helps the sheep when he finds one in this particular situation. What does the shepherd do? Does he just look at the sheep and go, "Get up, what are you doing?" No. He has to gently restore the sheep to his upright position. The sheep can't do it himself. The shepherd has to help. So the shepherd goes up to the sheep and he straddles the sheep. He gets over top of the sheep and he begins to pet and encourage and talk to and comfort the sheep and gently, little by little, roll that sheep back over, lift it back up onto his feet. Slowly, gently, carefully. That's what he has to do to restore that sheep. And then, when he's got the sheep standing up for the most part, he doesn't just walk away. He doesn't just go about his business or take care of something else. He stays with that sheep for a period of time. Why? Because often when the sheep is stood back up, it isn't strong enough to stay there. If the shepherd walks away, the sheep will fall and be back in the same position that he just got out of. So the shepherd stays there, often rubbing the sheep's legs, often talking to his sheep, often just being there to comfort that sheep until that sheep is able to regain his strength, until he's able to stand and walk and move and function all on his own once again. The shepherd stays with them as long as he needs to for that sheep to be back standing in his own strength. How do you think our shepherd helps us when we're cast? When we're down on our back? How do you think God helped David out of that cesspool of sin that he found himself in? He didn't just look at David and say, "You know better." He didn't just look at David and say, "That's dumb." But he came alongside of David and he picked him up and he encouraged him and he stood with him and he spoke with him and he talked to him, and ever so gently he restored him until David was back on his feet, moving forward again as the man after God's own heart that he was. How do you think God restores us when we say or do or act in dumb ways? When we make mistakes, when we sin, when we fall? God's not just on the sideline trying to coach you from a distance. He's right there with you, picking you up, encouraging you, walking with you. As long as it takes, as long as you need Him, He is there to help you, to help me get back into the fold and to be restored, to be nurtured again, to be back in the right condition again. He restores our soul time after time after time. Let's look at one more part of Psalm 23 today. And that is this: He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Sheep don't know when their surroundings are becoming a problem. Sheep don't know when their surroundings are becoming a problem. For example, sheep love to eat, and they will eat, and they will eat, and they will eat until they literally create ruts in the ground. They will eat a pasture until there is no more grass there to be eaten, including the roots of the grass. They will basically create a barren wasteland, if you will, one that won't regrow, one that won't come back and be useful, because they will just keep eating if they're not directed otherwise. And of course, once the ground becomes desolate and the ruts appear and all that stuff, there's a whole other issue of erosion and all that that goes along with that that becomes a huge problem. The soil is almost no good anymore. The other thing they will do is not only eat all of what is there to eat, sheep, and this is a little yucky, but sheep will soil the land completely till there's no clean land left. You understand what I'm saying, I hope? They will make a mess out of the land. They don't know that what they're doing is harmful to themselves. And they will destroy the land that is around them. Another reason the shepherd has to be ever mindful and watching out and looking ahead and providing for his flock, taking them to a good, clean pasture land, taking them to a place where they can continue to eat without destroying the land that they are currently on. The shepherd has to continue to do that. The shepherd is not only responsible for his animals, he's responsible for the land that his animals are on. He wants the land to be healthy so that his animals can be healthy. When you see a good pasture land, that speaks well of not only the shepherd, but the landowner. and how they take care of things, how they recognize where they're at and what's going on and the need ahead of time for the sheep. Now, one of the key things that I cannot overstate is the sheep learn very carefully to listen to their shepherd's voice. What does that mean? That means the shepherd has to talk to his sheep. If the shepherd does not talk to his sheep, how are his sheep ever going to learn the shepherd's voice? A silent shepherd is useless. If you see a shepherd talking to his sheep out in the field, they're not nuts. They're not crazy people talking to animals. They are training their sheep to listen. They're training their sheep by speaking to them so that the sheep can hear, so that when the shepherd works with them and guides them and talks with them, they know their shepherd's voice and they can follow him to the right path, the right pasture, the right place, the fresh water, the good food. All of that comes from learning their shepherd's voice. The shepherd has to be able to lead his sheep, and he does that by speaking to his sheep. Listening is incredibly, incredibly important. The shepherd always has the sheep's best interest in mind. The shepherd is always talking, moving, leading, because he cares about his sheep. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Or if you'll allow me, I know the plans I have for you, declares our shepherd. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jesus is our great shepherd. He wants to lead us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to teach us and train us. He is speaking to us constantly. Problem is with us. Are we listening? Are we paying attention? Are we hearing and recognizing his voice? I said we were going to look at this piece, he guides me in paths of righteousness. Let's not forget the critical last part of that. For his name's sake. You know, he doesn't lead us to places that are great and beneficial just for you and I. He leads us for his name's sake. We are reflections of him. Jesus walked this earth some 2,000 years ago, died, rose again, ascended. He's not been back physically. People don't see him anymore. You know what they see? They see every person that claims to be a born-again child of the living God. They see every person that claims to have the Holy Spirit living within them. You and I are a reflection of Jesus Christ. You and I are a reflection of the King of Kings, of the great I Am. Or we're supposed to be a reflection of Him. When people look at us, they're supposed to see Jesus. They're supposed to see His love, His mercy, His grace. When they look at us and the things we do and our deeds and our actions and what we say, they're supposed to praise God. They're supposed to say, look at the amazing things God has done. Look at how great God is. That's what they're supposed to say. That's what they're supposed to see. If we are who we're supposed to be, people are supposed to see a reflection of Jesus. And He leads us in a way, in a path, down a road for His sake, for His name's sake. When we do dumb, dirty, nasty, foolish, sinful things, people see that too. But that's not Jesus, is it? That's not who Jesus is all about, is it? That's not for His name's sake, is it? That's because we're trying to do something on our own, because we're trying to be our own person. It's because we've allowed the enemy to have his way in our lives. It's certainly not the reflection of Jesus. And when we try to do things on our own, when we listen to the world, when we stop at the mud puddle to drink, we're just wandering aimlessly through life. We're not walking the road that Christ has called us to walk. We're not being the people Christ has called us to be. We're not representing the King of Kings the way we are called to represent Him. The things we do matter. The things we do, the things we say, how we act and respond is incredibly important. Not just in our maturity and our walk as believers, but as in our representation of Jesus Christ. Who we are. If people think God is spiteful or judgmental, where do you think they get that? From you. From me. People get that because that's how we act. That's their reflection. That's something to think about for a little bit. As believers in Jesus Christ, we can make an impact in people's lives, positively or negatively. Hopefully positively as believers. We're reflecting Christ, and He is leading us and directing us and creating a path for us to walk so that He can be glorified, so that His name can be lifted up, so that people can see who He truly is. The fact that He loves us, the fact that He provides for us, the fact that He protects us and delivers us from our enemy, the fact that He restores us. And He does all of that for His name's sake. And quite honestly, ultimately, for my benefit, for your benefit. Because if we walk the way we're supposed to walk, and we represent the King the way we're supposed to represent the King, it is absolutely for our benefit. It is absolutely for our good. I hope you can see that. I hope we see more and more each week as we talk through this psalm the importance of understanding sheep and shepherds and their relationship, and how they apply to us in our lives. Lord, continue to teach us, I pray. Continue to show us right from wrong. Continue to help us understand and discern these comparisons we're given in Your Word. Help us, Lord, to study them, know them, apply them correctly to our lives. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would learn to listen to Your voice, to walk past the mud puddles of life, and to just drink from that clear living water that You have provided. Allow You to teach us, control us, encourage us. Lord, allow You to show us the path we are supposed to walk. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm forgiven. You were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all.